Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on a Friday afternoon in week number two of freedom. But we're going to go right now to the phones. U.S. Senator Katie Britt is one of our two senators representing the great state of Alabama in Washington, D.C. She has been in office now for just a few years, and she's already making a name for herself. But we're going to talk to her right now about several things that have happened just in recent days. U.S. Senator Katie Britt, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderfully, Phil, and it's always good to be on. Thank you for the opportunity to be on with you in front of your listeners. I just traveled near you. I came to speak to Boys and Girls Club of Alabama and now headed back home for speech and debate and football playoff games.
Well, outstanding. Get you a good weekend full of football. I'm headed to the Auburn game tomorrow myself, so good
nice,
for you.
Nice.
Hey,
good deal.
Let me, I want to go ahead and I want to go straight into something. There's all the social media chatter right now, and I remember what that's like even in my, you know, state level position. What it's like to see social media chatter when people are saying things about you, whether they're true or not. So, listen, I want to get straight to it. The vote for John Thune to become Senate Majority Leader. There were three. There were John Thune, there was Cornyn, and there was Rick Scott.
Yeah, that's right.
You have said you openly supported Rick Scott for the first round of voting, after which he had to drop out because he didn't make the level necessary. But and other people are claiming that's not true. Deal with the question right now. Did you, in fact, vote for Rick Scott?
Absolutely. I voted for Rick Scott. I made sure that he knew that I was voting for him, as well as Mike Lee. As many of your listeners know, obviously I had my approach to this was that of taking time with each of my colleagues that were running. I have a good relationship with each of them. That's been proven to be beneficial for the values of our state as we fight for those, for our people of our state, and gave each one of those men an opportunity to make their case. I had two calls. The freshman class actually had a call with all three gentlemen where we asked them a series of questions. And, you know, that was great because I got to hear the perspective of my other freshman colleagues, the kinds of questions they were asking, the answers they were getting, et cetera. I had independent calls with each of those men the 2 weeks prior. So all of that, the 2 weeks prior to the actual vote, and told each of them we would wait. Senator Mike Lee, who you know is a strong conservative stalwart there in the United States Senate. He
right.
runs the Conservative Steering Committee, held a forum, a candidate forum, where he wanted everyone to get their questions answered, and he wanted people to make their quote-unquote closing arguments. I have the greatest respect for Mike and agreed to participate and listen to that without obviously giving my support before then and coming in, asking those final questions. My question to each of them in that forum was, how are you going to be different than Mitch McConnell? You know, how are you different than the previous leadership? Because at the end of the day, I want change. I want the Senate to operate differently. I want power to not be hoorded by just the majority and minority leader, but I want it to be dispersed between all 100 senators as our forefathers had intended. I want the committee process to work. I want the appropriations process to work. I want us to actually, business as usual has got to be out the window. And so as we did that, I let Mike Lee know, you know, where I was going with this. Also, I let Senator Scott know. Was really proud, obviously, both of them came out and said, hey, we appreciate your vote. We appreciate your support. You know, Rick had both a vision and the will. He has the relationships. He has the background to do the kind of overhaul that we need right now. And so was proud to vote for Rick Scott. And, you know, I think another thing for your listeners, Phil, many people, I mean, obviously I've heard pushback, well, you know, that Senator Tuberville handled it differently. He came out 2 days earlier. And you have to, you know, rewind. That's what he did last time as well. You know, I mean, he came out for Mitch McConnell. He said, this is who I'm voting for. He said, this is, you know, and I let this process play out. I let each of the men make their closing arguments and then made my choice and let people know. And the last thing I would say on that, Phil, the other thing I've heard pushback on is that there are lists out there that don't include me.
And that's what I want to ask you about, because people are putting out lists and saying there's lists that don't include your name, and how do you address that?
So I think this is actually really easy for your listeners. First off, one of the lists that came out had actually had John Thune voting for John Cornyn, okay? Out of everything that I am certain about, you can put on the list that it was not the case. So there were simple things like that that were just wrong on that list. Next, if you take the number of people, so there were 13 votes total for Rick Scott. There were two write-in votes. If you take the number of people who have publicly said they voted for Rick Scott, that includes me, and you obviously know that Rick Scott, another thing you can be certain about is that Rick Scott voted for himself as well, that makes 10 people. That is the only 10 people in the entire United States Senate who have said, we voted for Rick Scott. So there are actually three outstanding names on that list that we don't know who they are. So the talk of, oh, there are too many names and she can't fit, is simply not true. There are only 9 of us who have come out and said, we voted for Rick Scott. There are 13 total votes for Rick Scott. So these lists you're saying, unfortunately, are fabricated. They are untruthful. But at the end of the day, not only do I give you my word, Rick Scott and Mike Lee have backed up that I gave them mine before the vote as well.
Well, I'm gonna pretty much call that subject closed. And I don't know why it will matter a week from now, to be honest, except that most of the world, I think the conservative world, especially Alabamians, did want Rick Scott to be in because, like you, we wanted change. So my next question is, knowing full well that John Thune is the guy now, are we going to see change?
Look, I was really encouraged, while disappointed that we weren't able to build the momentum around Rick, I am really encouraged that immediately after the vote, you saw John Thune get on the phone with Donald Trump. You saw a conversation occur. Every single man, I will tell you, first off, the Crimson Tide, by the way, came up about 4 times in leadership elections, I kid you not, which was pretty amazing. Marco Rubio started his speech for Rick Scott and said, you know, guys, look, all 3 of these men are good men. He said, I kind of feel like Nick Saban and the team he had with the 3 quarterbacks that ended up all starting in the NFL at the same time. I kid you not, Phil. He said, do you all remember it was Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa and Mac Jones all on one team? He said, what I'm telling you is we got 3 great guys up here. And obviously, you know, whichever way we go, he was clearly for Rick Scott. But that being said, you know, doubling down on, look, we received a message from the American people on November 5th. And every one of those men, when they stood up and gave their remarks, talked about understanding that and understanding the importance of getting moving immediately on President Trump's agenda, immediately on getting President Trump's team in place, immediately on actually enacting legislation and change. We have a real opportunity with reconciliation. Okay. Your listeners may know this, but when you have the House, the Senate, and the White House, and you are changing between 2 administrations, you are reconciling the budgets. And the first thing we'll have to do is pass a budget resolution, but we can pass things that you know, the parliamentarian has to say, okay, yes, this works, but we can pass things in that process at 51 votes. So it is a real moment for us, you know, with that and the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So it was clear, Phil, that President Trump's agenda, putting the country back on track, the mandate and the voice that America said,
let me jump in, though, because one of the questions that still remains out there that John Thune did address in a Fox News interview with Bret Baier, but he kind of couched his terms a little bit. People are concerned whether or not Trump's going to be allowed to have recess appointments as necessary. Do you think that recess appointments are on the table?
I do. I think everything is on the table. I think now we want to get to work immediately. What we've been talking about is we're sworn in on January 3rd. So we're talking about, let's go right into hearings for these individuals. The goal would be to have these hearings complete, as many of them as possible, by the time that President Trump gets sworn in as the 47th President of the United States and J.D. Vance the Vice President, so that we can immediately have those floor votes following that. So
is there anybody in that list? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, and what I heard from each of those men, so, you know, being a part of this process, it's healthy because what we were able to do, so you think about this, we were able to ask these types of tough questions to all three of those men in that forum. You know, we were to say, what are you going to do about resettlement? What are you going to do about this? What are we going to do about, the budget? What are we going to do about this? And so that was our moment, you know, by allowing them that opportunity, it gave us an opportunity to put them on notice and to get answers and commitments to our questions about how we're going to do this.
So all three
of them said yes.
I hope.
Go ahead.
But all three of them said yes at a time they needed a vote. The question is going to be, you know, whether Thune will lead in that way. And I hope he does, because like you, I wanted change. Like you and like many of our voters out there, our listeners out there, we wanted a different version of Senate. But that being said, is there any one of the appointments? I mean, there's a lot of talk about Matt Gaetz, and I got news. I got reservations about Matt Gaetz. But is there any one of these appointments that you feel like could wind up jimmying up the works or maybe not even make it through? Which one has the most trouble in your opinion?
Look, obviously you're pointing to one that we have seen, people talk about. I think what you have to do is you have to realize the president has a prerogative to appoint his cabinet. Now, we, under the Constitution, obviously advise and consent. But so what we need to do is to come into that process, and ask those questions. The people that do have concerns have that opportunity in these Senate hearings to get those questions answered. And so then we can assess what's in front of us, and then we can move forward for a vote. I do not believe that any one person, if there is somebody that is more challenging to get across the finish line than others, or something is said or happens in a hearing that makes their confirmation more difficult. I think all hands are on deck to get as many cabinet appointments done as fast as we can, obviously doing our due diligence through the process. But I think we let all of them move through the process, and then I think the leader schedules the most clear-cut votes first. You know, if you're having trouble, you don't let that hang up everything else. And I think there is enough momentum in the Republican conference, and we have gotten enough commitments through this leadership process, this process of selecting a leader, that I think we can hold them accountable to moving fast and efficient and thoroughly.
Okay.
and getting some things done.
So I'm going to put you on the spot with one last question. You ready? You called in graciously to our live stream on election night. We had a great night that night. We had hundreds and hundreds of people that were dialed in with us and watching. And I don't know if you remember you said this, but I said something about it's looking like it's going to be a whole new day, and we look forward to seeing what the Senate looks like. And you said, I do too, with a gavel in my hand. Do you expect a chairmanship sometime in the near future? You said it, not me. I'm just asking what you meant by it.
It'll be a subcommittee gavel. I don't quite have the years under my belt for a full committee gavel, but I will have a subcommittee gavel. We don't know which one yet, but I am really excited because, you know, so what that means is I get to actually call the hearings. I get to pick the witnesses, you know, the majority of the witnesses, and have an opportunity to drive conversation and get answers and things on the record that the American people need so that we can, hey, have a new day and change this country for the better, going back to the foundational principles that made it so great in the first place.
Well, Senator, listen, I know you're traveling right now. I think we had a little bit of gap in your signal there just for a half a second, so I'm going to – anyway, I got to go to a break anyway, but I really appreciate your time. Look, best of luck to you. I know what it's like to be chatted about online, but stay in the fight and keep us posted, all right?
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. U.S. Senator Katie Britt, and boy, I ran long. So go take us right to the break there, brother. We'll process what she said momentarily when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.